This morning's reading is taken from the New Testament, from the book of Mark, chapter 5, verses 21 to 43. When Jesus had again crossed over by the boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered round him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers named Jairus came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him. "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. And then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. She was just 12 years old. At this they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat.
If you could open to the scripture which Carol read to us, which is Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 43. If you're using the Church Bible, it's 1007. Just for a moment, if you could just think back over the years, the people who have influenced your lives, people who you've met, whether they were part of your family, school, whether they're at business, in the factory, in the office, people who you came across and you found that they influenced your life in some way. Or they were a guide, or they were a helper to particularly bad time, or a time when you didn't really quite know which way you should be going. And some of those people may have become your husband or wife even. I won't say any more about that. And also, we come across people who, in our lives, who have passed on now, who have long left this earth. But in fact, we can remember things which they said to us. I can remember things which they taught us. I remember watching a TV show once, a TV talk show, and Denzel Washington was the film star who was being interviewed, and the interviewer asked him, which person would you like to meet most of all in your lifetime? And he said, Jesus Christ. And they didn't expect that. And it's a surprising answer, really, isn't it? But, you know, the amazing thing is that many who are here this morning, many have already met Jesus Christ. They have had an encounter with him. And in our reading today, we've got two people who meet up with Jesus. They're two very different people in this chapter. A woman who is not named at all, and a prominent man called Jairus. Now, Jesus has crossed over the Lake of Galilee, and he's met by a large crowd. Not surprising, you would think, because this is Jesus the teacher, this is Jesus the man who seems to be able to do things so well, and his words are wise, and he can perform miracles. And the crowd are there, and they meet Jesus, and they press around him very closely. No doubt not to miss any words which comes from Jesus' mouth. And Jairus approaches Jesus and falls at his feet. Jairus is not only a Jew, but a ruler in the synagogue, which probably meant he arranged the services there. This would give him a certain status and respect in the community. But this was very risky for Jairus to kneel before Jesus. Remember, the crowd can see him there kneeling before Jesus. This would be risky for Jairus because the ruling Jewish religious leaders were totally opposed to Jesus. They did not approve of his teaching, and they certainly did not believe he was the Son of God. Jairus was putting his religious career in jeopardy. But Jairus was desperate and anxious, and he believed that only Jesus could help him. Jairus was in such a state because his daughter is dying. We can understand that, can't we? And he kneeled before Jesus, a sign that indicated he recognized the authority of Jesus. We were just singing in the hymn then about authority. And he kneeled in humility before Jesus. Jairus pleaded with Jesus, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. This is the Son of God. And he goes with this man at his request. We were talking the children before about Jesus loving us. Doesn't matter what age you are. And the reason, two reasons why Jesus would go with Jairus. One, because he loved him. And secondly, because he was going to make a difference in the man's life that day. Imagine the scene. Jesus walking along with Jairus. The crowd pressing closely around them. Many of them jostling for a better position. But there was also a woman in the crowd that day who was also in desperate need. She had a chronic blood problem. We would call it hemorrhaging. She had suffered for 12 years and had spent all her money on doctors, but her condition, instead of getting better, it was getting worse. And also, according to Jewish religious law, her type of sickness made her ritually unclean. And also, anyone who came in contact with her would also be made ritually unclean. That also made her socially unacceptable because of her condition. The woman suffers twice. And again, she believes that it is only Jesus who can meet her need. All of a sudden, Jesus stops walking and says, "Who touched my clothes?" I'm sure the disciples looked at each other in bewilderment. "Who touched your clothes?" There must be half a dozen people who have actually touched your clothes within this last 5-10 minutes. But Jesus knew that power had gone out of him. He turned round and he waited. The woman with the bleeding disorder comes forward and falls at his feet. She's trembling with fear, and I'm sure that there would be tears rolling down her face. Do you think that she needs to be fearful? What will Jesus think of her? Will Jesus be angry with her? Will Jesus even turn her away? What she did know was that something wonderful had happened to her, because the moment she touched the cloak of Jesus, her bleeding had stopped. And also verse 23 here tells us that when she fell down at the feet of Jesus, she told him the whole truth. She told him about her problems and her difficulties. She told him about all the doctors she'd been to see, and now that also her money had gone with all the treatment she'd received. You know, one of the great things as a believer, a follower of Jesus Christ, we can tell Jesus everything. I hope you find that of value. I hope that you find that a relief at times, when you can come to Jesus and pour out your soul to him, pour out your heart to him, because he understands. You can tell him things that you can't even begin to tell other people. Maybe people who are even nearest and dearest to you. That is a real privilege that we have as believers. I would encourage you not to neglect the fact that you can go to Jesus with your problems and your difficulties. Now, the woman had approached Jesus from behind, maybe because she was acutely aware of her being ritually unclean. She also came with a mixture of faith and superstition. Now, why superstition, you would say? Because there was a belief in those days that the clothing of a powerful person also contained some power. Jesus is not angry with her, nor does he turn the woman away, but says to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." And we've got the first caption there. "Woman, go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Jesus rewarded her faith, not only by healing her body, but also healing her heart. I'm sure that when Jesus said, "Go in peace," he meant go in spiritual peace and be free of your sins. You know, faith is the key to a new spiritual life. Jesus was very keen on faith. And throughout the New Testament, we find that he does say to people, you know, "Well done, bless you. Your faith has done this for you. Your faith has met your needs," and so on. Faith is the key to a new spiritual life. For if you are not a disciple of Jesus, your most pressing need is to have your sins forgiven. You may say, "Well, actually, Sid, I'm not quite sure about that." Well, if you're not quite sure about what I'm saying, the Bible says it. That our most pressing need is to have our sins forgiven. That's why Jesus came to seek and to save those who were lost. Jesus also said in the Bible, "Come unto me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." We read that in Matthew chapter 11. Why not trust Jesus today? If you're not already trusting him, why not make this day the day when you trust Jesus? With your life, with your future. We've been singing this morning about eternity. Salvation is not just for this life, it's for eternity as well. And we'll touch on that before we finish this morning. Meanwhile, Jairus is still waiting in great anxiety and fretting because Jesus has been delayed. "Jesus, don't you know that the situation is urgent? My daughter, have you forgotten about her?" Then comes the news he does not want to hear. A message from his house. And the message is, "Your daughter is dead. Why bother the teacher anymore?" I'm sure that Jairus's shoulders slumped, and he felt drained of all life and energy, because his most precious possession is gone. What can be done? But as many of you who are here this morning can testify, there is always hope with Jesus. So Jesus ignores the message which has come from the house. And he says something very simple to Jairus. He says to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just believe." Don't be afraid, just believe. Why should Jesus say, "Don't be afraid"? I would offer two suggestions to you. He's saying to Jairus, Don't be afraid, Jairus, I can fix this. And two, don't be afraid, Jairus, you can trust me, I won't let you down. But many people in this world, they put their trust in all kinds of other things. They rely on horoscopes and crystals and tarot cards. They rely on money and other idols. But these things don't really satisfy the needs of mankind. You know that. We see it in our media every day, don't we? The world is full of unsatisfied, dissatisfied men and women who are looking for all kinds of solutions to their problems. But only Jesus can meet their needs, their real needs. But I also find it interesting on another level that Jesus said to Jairus, don't be afraid. Because there are many people who are reluctant to trust Jesus with their lives. Because they are skeptical. They have doubts. And they are too proud to acknowledge their need. And also afraid that their lives will be changed. I remember before I became a Christian, that was one of the thoughts in my mind. That if I become a Christian, will my life change so much that, you know, for all of the things that we think. And generally speaking, men are more prone to taking these kind of positions than women are. Sometimes men are very difficult to convince. But Jesus says, men and women, trust me. Now, it is true being a Christian is a challenge. But Jesus is never disappointing. And he is a faithful friend. So Jesus proceeds with Jairus and three of his disciples to the house. The professional mourners are all there crying and wailing. Now every house where there was someone here died, they always had professional mourners. Even the poorest people had professional mourners. And they were there inside the house crying and wailing. And Jesus says to them, what is all this commotion? The child is not dead, but asleep. But they laughed at him. How dare they laugh at Jesus? Jesus, who in previous chapters in this Mark's Gospel, Jesus who calmed the storm on the Sea of Galilee, Jesus who had the authority and the power to heal the demon-possessed man at the beginning of this chapter 5. But people still mock Jesus today. Although he is the Son of God, and in him all things hold together. But those who laughed at Jesus, they were ignorant of what Jesus can do. They were also oblivious to who Jesus really is. And Jesus goes into the room with the parents and with the three disciples. He goes into the room where the girl is and he takes her by the hand. And he says, little girl, I say to you, get up. We might say, wake up, little girl. Immediately the girl stood up and walked around. What a wonderful outcome for the family. What a day when the woman Jairus and Jairus' daughter all met Jesus. Their lives were transformed. For those of us who belong to Christ, the Christian life is much more than attending church, reading the Bible, or praying. We belong to God who has planned all things. I'm so glad that God has planned all things. Because we can't rely on men and women in charge of nations. We can't rely on them. Because as the Bible talks about, men and women have feet of clay. And Paul writes in the New Testament that when Christians die, they fall asleep. We read that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, if you want to look it up when you get home. That when Christians die, they fall asleep. They fall asleep in Christ. And when Jesus returns, we will be resurrected. We will be woken up from the dead. We could say, wake up, believer. It is time to go to your heavenly Father. So we find in this chapter here, where this woman and Jairus and the daughter, they all had an encounter with Jesus. We talked about before about anybody who had influenced your life. For believers, of course, Jesus not only saves us, but he's our Lord. He's our guide. And one of the hymns we sing, he's our prophet, priest, and king. He is the ultimate. He is the ultimate. And we read from Colossians at the beginning that, in fact, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Just listen to these words from Ephesians chapter 1, where it says about Jesus. And it talks about God and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the age to come. And God placed all things under his feet. That is the Jesus we belong to. And what an amazing thing that God prepared this in advance for us, that we could know the Son of God and be saved by his precious blood, which we'll be thinking about in our communion meal in a very short time. And if God has spoken to you this morning and you need to know more about following Jesus, there'll be people here later on who can pray with you and speak to you and help you. So don't go away if you have any questions or you want to know how to get nearer to God. Let's pray, shall we?